As a moon. So you just heard one of the famous moments of Werther, the Massenet famous opera, and we finish of course with this kind of interlude that is between the third and the last act, the fourth act. And before that there was the farewell between Werther and Charlotte, and there was of course the Ossian Lied that is perhaps the best moment of the opera, and we played for you that music, of course, because we have the chance to hear a concert version of Werther with the Vancouver Opera, and it's going to be Kimberly Barber's going to sing Charlotte, and Bruce Lech going to sing Werther, and the Vancouver Opera is going to be conducted by Jacques Lacombe, a great French-Canadian conductor that played that opera a lot of time, including at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. And but I want to mention also that, so you just heard the wonderful version of Michel Plasson with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Alfredo Kraus was singing Werther, and Tatiana Troyanos, Charlotte. And just to mention the time, so with Vancouver Opera, it's very important to check the time, because they normally start at 7:30 p.m. That's a little bit unusual, but for opera, it's normal, because operas are always long, and in a way, and so it's very important not to miss the beginning. It's always sad to miss the beginning. It's going to be, as usual, at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre on Saturday, October the 14th, and I repeat the hour at 7:30, and I just read to you what they say about the opera. So based on the novel by Kurt Massenet, a ravishing opera depicts the joys and sufferings of the quintessential romantic Werther, whose ardent passion for Charlotte is thwarted by a sacred vow and a marriage to another man. Werther's outpourings of poetry and Charlotte's spiritual insecurities move our tormented heart to compassion and finally to an expression of love, but by then, tragically, Werther has succumbed to his self-destructive melancholy. On passe à un autre concert qui nous tient à cœur et qui va être samedi et qui est vendredi, pardon, le 13 et le 14 octobre, ainsi que lundi 16 octobre, toujours à 20h. Oh my God, le 13 et le 14 octobre, c'est donc 13 et 14 octobre, bien sûr, c'est au Chan Center, et le 16 octobre, c'est à Surrey, mais donc il s'agit ici du Vancouver Symphonic Orchestra, qui va nous offrir trois pièces magnifiques. C'est le deuxième concert de la saison, et pour nous, le moment qui nous enthousiasme de façon particulière, c'est la 51e cantate de Bach, Jauscheidkraut in Allen Landen. C'est en fait cette magnifique cantate qui est une sorte de duo entre la soprano et le trompettiste. Est une des plus célèbres cantates de Bach, et certainement pour soprano. Et c'est Karina Gauvin, le magnifique soprano québécois, qui va nous offrir cette œuvre. Et Branwell Tovey, bien sûr, va diriger l'Orchestre symphonique de Vancouver. Au même concert, on va avoir la chance d'entendre la 40e symphonie de Mozart, qui est bien sûr un de ses chefs-d'œuvre, et peut-être sa symphonie la plus célèbre. Et une symphonie d'Haydn, la 64e, intitulée Tempora Mutantur. Pour vous donner un avant-goût, je vais vous faire entendre au complet la cantate de Bach, Jauscheidkraut in Allen Landen, dans cette version célèbre du Gustav Leonhardt Consort.
Oh, Thank you.
So it was the very beautiful voice of Marianne Queck-Silbert, soprano, and Gustave Leonhardt was conducting the Leonhardt Ensemble concert, in fact. And it was, of course, the cantata number 51, Jauschet Gott in allen Landen, that we can translate by praise ye God throughout creation. And of course, we're playing this cantata, the Bach cantata, because it's going to be the second concert of the VSO this season. Bramwell Tove will conduct the Vancouver Orchestra with the wonderful Karina Gauvin soprano singing the soprano part. And there will be Larry Knopp on trumpet, because it's kind of a dialogue between a trumpet and a soprano. At the same concert, there will be also Haydn Symphony No. 64 and Mozart, the wonderful Symphony No. 48. It's Friday and Saturday, October 13 and 14th at 8 p.m. at the Chan Center. And we finish with new music because at the at UBC there will be this amazing concert of new music, Basic Element, and it's interesting because the Bach cantata is 280 years old, but 80 years old is the age of Georgi Kortak, one of the musicians that they're going to play, and it's all those wonderful musicians: Paolo Bartoluzzi flute, François Hull clarinet, Jesse Reed bassoon, Rebecca Whitling violin, Eric Wilson cello, Gwen Thompson violin, Corey Ham piano, David Harding viola, Vern Griffiths percussion, and choreography by Catherine Burnett. And it will play also some music of Stephen Shetman, Keith Hamill, Christian Carlin, Awa Basha. And je vais quand même un petit peu expliquer. Je finis donc par la musique de Kortak, parce que, bien entendu, à Paris, à l'Ensemble Intercontemporain, on va nous faire bientôt, le 19 octobre, Quasi una fantasia, une œuvre que Kortak a composée récemment. Et je vous lis simplement ce qu'on dit de cette œuvre que je vais vous faire entendre. Le compositeur hongrois Györgyi Kortak, qui fête en 2006 ses 80 ans, est quant à lui toujours en quête de nouvel absolu musical. Dans des partitions marquées par une forme de minimalisme où chaque note constitue un jeu existentiel, la référence au romantisme s'inscrit ici dans le titre Quasi una fantasia, opus 27 pour piano et groupe d'instruments, ainsi nommé d'après l'indication de mouvement d'un autre opus 27 fort célèbre, la sonate pour piano de Beethoven, dite Claire de Lune.
Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
Hey, yo, we was having a ball, and, you know, they asked me to get on the mic, and they asked me, can I kick it? Words. Can I kick it?
Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM. There we go. Oh, I lost him. Michael, call back. Michael, call back. Is that him? Is that you? We are having phone difficulties here. Michael Wall, call back. Anyways, folks, you are listening to Wiener's Barbecue, our UBC Thunderbird Sports Edition. Right now, we were hoping... And hopefully he will call back any moment now, is Michael Wall, our play-by-play voice for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, who got underway last weekend. They lost on Friday night to the University of Saskatchewan in their season opener at home in South Surrey. They lost 7-1, six power play goals against. That's not good. But then they came back and won 4-2 on Saturday. And with us right now to tell us all about the weekend, Michael, you're there. What happened?
I don't know, Daryl. You're still learning how to work the phone system, I see, after 10 years at CITR.
It's not quite 10. I think it's eight, maybe nine.
We'll have to have a party when you hit that 10-year mark.
Please don't. Please don't. Anyways, here we are with Mikey Wall, play-by-play voice for the UBC Thunderbirds. So, Mike, you went down there. You got to South Surrey on Friday.
Yes, I did.
How was the traffic?
You know what? I got out there early enough where it wasn't too bad, but unfortunately, Marina Ellis, our star reporter, she got a little bit caught up in that traffic. And, you know, it's something we're going to have to deal with all season with this team.
There you go. So, but Mikey got there on time. Got into the booth, set up his phone equipment, and Michael, UBC, they got behind early. They never really got back into the game. 7-1 losers, their season opener on Friday. Did I read this right? Six power play goals against. Saskatchewan was 6-17. UBC 1-13 on the power play. Mike, that's a lot of minor penalties called by the officials.
Daryl, that's correct. It was 6-17. Now, granted, not all of those power plays were full two-minute power plays, but I believe there were about six hooking penalties in the first 5 minutes. And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to enforce the sort of NHL-style non-obstruction rules in the CIS. And, you know, every ref, I guess, is on a different wavelength because the coaching staff said they haven't faced that type of reffing in their during their exhibition schedule. And they would literally get a stick on a player, and it was called. I believe each team had two or three five-on-three opportunities. The game, I'm not surprised. I really lost track of the penalty summaries, but I believe that about 40 minutes of the game was played on the power play by one team.
That's not good to watch.
No, it was quite a terrible game, to be honest. It was, there were those short moments of either 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 where it was actually pretty good hockey, but let's be honest, power play hockey isn't exciting when you're watching it for the majority of the game. It's exciting once in a while. It's exciting to change up the flow of the game. But, you know, watching teams set up in the offensive zone, it's almost like watching basketball. And, you know, it isn't exciting to watch. So apparently the second game, which I didn't see, unfortunately, was a little bit better. There were only, I believe, five penalties against each team, and UBC ended up coming on. They came out on top on that game, 4-2 on Saturday night.
Yeah, both teams 0-5 on the power play that night. But, Michael, 4-2 winners UBC on Saturday. You didn't want to go out to Surrey 2 days in a row, huh?
Oh, I wanted to, Daryl. I wanted to. Unfortunately, I had plans, and I couldn't make it out there. But, different story on Saturday night, perhaps a different ref as well. Only five minor penalties against. And I said it all along on Friday night, although it was a 7-1 game, UBC's goaltending wasn't great on Saturday night. On Friday night. And all the penalties really, you know, really took its toll on UBC. And I was really curious to see how they would do in a game that had less penalties. Their team looked promising. They outshot Saskatchewan on Friday night, and actually outshot them again on Saturday night. And, you know, in five-on-five hockey, it appears that UBC is going to be able to compete against some of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, so UBC, Mike, 4-2 winners versus Saskatchewan on Saturday. Going into the weekend, you got to figure UBC would be happy. This is a team, Saskatchewan, that was number one in the country for 11 weeks last year. UBC, if you told them they'd take this, they'd be winning one, losing one versus Saskatchewan, they'd have to take that, wouldn't they?
Of course, Daryl. I don't have my stats here with me, but I believe up until last year, UBC hadn't beaten Saskatchewan in something like 10 years, either home or away. And they finally beat Saskatchewan last year. They took one game off them last year. And to get a win off Saskatchewan in your first weekend, it kind of takes the pressure off when you go into Lethbridge this weekend against one of your division rivals.
Well, Lethbridge, Mike, you mentioned they're going in to play the Pronghorns Friday and Saturday. This is one of the teams traditionally, Lethbridge, Regina, Calgary. Those are the teams in UBC, well, UBC trying to get into that mix now, who are going to fight for that pretty much fifth and sixth playoff spot, maybe third or fourth, trying to get a first-round home game. But those are the teams. So big games this weekend versus Lethbridge.
That's right. And on Lethbridge, they've been probably the worst team in the league the last 3 or 4 years. But that's changing now. They have some good goaltending now and a strong defensive team. UBC played them in the preseason and beat them 2-1. Coaching staff says they really just have to be patient against Lethbridge. UBC feels that they're a better offensive team, but they just can't get frustrated with the stingy defending that Lethbridge is starting to become known for.
Who looked good for UBC on the weekend, Mike?
Well, again, I only saw the Friday night game, and you know, it was a tough game to really tell because UBC didn't have a chance to flow through their lines. But probably the player that really stood out to me, well, a couple players, but defensively, number 27, Scott Lynch. He, of course, Daryl, was injured all year last year. He's coming off a rotator cuff surgery. So that he saw his first regular season action for the Thunderbirds, and he was fantastic. He is that stud on defense that UBC has been waiting for the last few years. He is a star out there, and he's big, he's strong, he can move the puck well, and he scored UBC's only goal that night on a really nice power play one-timer.
Awesome. Mikey, thanks for doing this. Mikey Wall, our play-by-play announcer for UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey. Mikey also works as a trainer for the UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team. So are you going to Lethbridge, or you got out of that one?
I'm not going to Lethbridge. They're busing out to Lethbridge. They do one bus trip a year, and they're leaving Wednesday afternoon to head out by bus to Lethbridge. Supposed to be a team-building experience, but I think I'm going to have to make up for my team-building. I really don't want to spend 4 days on a bus.
you took a pass on that one.
I took a pass on that.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Exactly.
Awesome. Mikey, you going to watch hockey or baseball tonight?
Daryl, I am going to be watching hockey tonight. I'm a sucker for the Canucks. You know, I am a hockey fan. I'm still interested tonight to see if Luke Berdon will make it in the lineup. What do you think? Is he going to be playing tonight?
He's going to be playing tonight. Of course he'll play tonight.
Yeah, what about that Minnesota Wild team, Daryl? They, you know, they're not that Jacques Lemaire team of past. They're now an offensively-minded team with a lot of defensive troubles this year.
Well, Mikey, you know, you're a hockey guy here. Your brother works for the Vancouver Canucks, of course. You follow hockey all your life. And Minnesota, what do you think, Mikey? Pavel Dimitra coming to town. They got Marian Gaborik, Brian Rolston. Who's the other guy they brought in?
They brought in Mark Parrish. But probably the biggest acquisition they had this year was Kim Johnson from the Philadelphia Flyers, the puck-moving defenseman that they haven't had. And they also actually brought brief former Canuck Keith Carney. So they brought in some depth, but most of all they brought in a puck-moving defenseman who can get it up to the new fast forwards that they brought in. So watch out for Minnesota. I pick them as being probably top five in the Western Conference this year.
Minnesota 2-0 coming into tonight. We'll get into that next hour. 9 goals for in 2 games, 7 goals against for the Minnesota Wild.
And they'll get their, like Jacques Lemaire will whip them into defensive shape very soon. So if they can keep scoring, and then they'll, you know, they will pick up their defensive game at some point.
Mikey, last thing I want to just mention to you quickly about the Vancouver Canucks. I saw it in the paper today, kind of disturbing. Most expensive ticket price on average in the National Hockey League belongs to?
I'd probably say Vancouver Canucks.
Vancouver
given
Canucks
the way
fans.
You prefaced that entire statement.
Number one most expensive average ticket is the Vancouver Canucks, $58.96.
Well, Daryl, I mean, the fact is it's a market, and, you know, they've had, what, five straight years of sellouts now? Not mm-hmm. a single ticket available for 5 years. You know, single-game tickets sell out in, what, one day nowadays? And, you
season
know, until,
ticket holder,
and,
season
until
yep.
that changes, they're going to keep those prices where they are. It's a market.
Season ticket holder waiting list. Michael, I didn't know you were such a capitalist.
You know what, Daryl? It's just economics.
Attaboy. Mikey Wall. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Daryl.
All right, that was Mikey Wall, play-by-play man for the UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team, who will be at Lethbridge this Friday and Saturday. Well, keeping her going right now, folks, we're going to start talking a little bit of the game of soccer. Got an interview set up with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's soccer team, Mike Mosher. UBC, a 1-1 tie with the University of Victoria on the weekend. Michael Elliott got the goal in the 32nd minute for the UBC Thunderbirds. UBC currently ranked fifth in the entire country. They're 4-1-3 in conference play. They trail Alberta, and the winner of the conference gets to host the Canada West Finals. And Alberta currently leads the conference. They're the second-ranked team in the country with a 5-0-3 record. UBC will be playing the University of Alberta at Alberta 2 weeks' time for one game. So without further ado, here's my interview with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's soccer team, Mike Mosher.
Hey, this is Steve Nash.
Whoopsie daisies. That's where I'm at today. Here we go. Coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's soccer team, Mike Mosher. So, coach, I know I just asked you this question, but we're going to have to do it once again. 1-1 tie versus the University of Victoria. You happy with your team's performance, or you wish you guys could have got the 3 points?
Well, I certainly wish we would have got the 3 points, especially the way the game sort of unfolded. We were up 1-0 in the first half, about the 30-minute mark, and we had a few other chances. And then, you know, they scored probably about 60, 65 minutes, and realistically it was probably their first real opportunity just off of a set play. So then we had chances after that to try and get ourselves the full 3 points. So, yeah, frustrating to come away with a tie, but that's the way she was.
And, Coach, I also heard that UBC, you guys had, as you mentioned, you guys had a lot of chances, but at the very end of the game, Victoria had an outstanding chance to win the game.
They did, yeah. They got a breakaway. Somebody got in behind us, and Serge Jukanovic came up with a save off the breakaway. So, I mean, yeah, having said all that, I mean, there's a possibility without that save that we come off there empty-handed.